Again, I wish to greet you in the very worthy name of our Lord Jesus, the risen Lord Jesus. Been blessed again this evening. I trust that as we continue to look at Christ, we will continue to be blessed. Last evening, we looked at who Christ is. And as we looked, we worshiped. That is the only logical response. This evening we want to look at Christ's ownership of my life. I knew a boy years ago, typical boy, I can do that all my by myself. All my by myself. He said that again and again. Why did he put that my in there twice? Is it my life or is it Christ's life? Who does it belong to? Well, it's mine. I'm the one that has to live this life. It's mine. And I can do it all by myself. All by myself. As we look at who we are, we look at what the Bible tells us about us, we see a very impressive picture that I trust we can get tonight. And the first point I would like to start with is He created us in His own image. We looked last night that Christ, the Anointed One, is the one that created this universe and created this world. He created you and me. And He created us in His own image. Then He set us free. He turned us loose. He said, you make the choices. I was impressed in Psalm 8. I'd like to read verses 4 to 8. Psalm 8. Starting with verse 4, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. I wanted to stop there. Just read to those verses. We're crowned. God, the Creator, chose to crown. This is talking about man. Chose to crown him, us, with glory and honor. Crown means to recognize officially. So he officially recognized us as having glory, which means splendor, or great, impressive beauty and abundance, and honor, which means magnificence. And then he gave us the dominion over the works of his hands, of God's hands, the Creator's hands. So that means that we're supposed to rule and have power. And in Psalm 82, Psalm 82, verse 6, he says, "And I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." Now we know that he's talking about us, because in John 10, verse 34, Jesus quoted from this psalm, and he said that we are gods. The Creator decreed us to be gods because you have been gifted with enormous capability and potential. And you are free to dream and explore and to make choices. And as you develop into youth, most of you here are young youth. We have some youth here with more experience, but we have some youth that are beginning. And we're in awe of all the possibilities, all the potential, all the awakening desires and dreams, and we start doing things and we start seeing things happen. And that can have a giddying effect on us. It can make us choose wrong choices. Because we have that. It's in us. And it's much like life. Life is so much like, you know, you're in this beautiful garden, and it's a beautiful thing. But you're propelled along, and all of a sudden you come to a wall, and it's a high wall. And it's a wall with a number of different doors. And as you look at it, you're not sure of, open this door, open this door. Well, what's on the other side of that wall? I don't know. But if you open any of those doors and you go through it, then you're going to have to live with the consequences of what you chose. And you can't come back. This life just keeps propelling you. And so, this door or this door? This, what do I do? And as we are created in the image of God and we are little gods, we become aware that we are in charge of choosing our own destiny. And we're also aware that we shoulder tremendous responsibilities. Now let's go over here to Hebrews 2. Over here in Hebrews 2, he's quoting from Psalm 8, where we just started out with. I'd like to read verse 7. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands." And so we are stewards. Stewards entrusted with all of this potential that the Creator created. And now it's up to us. He's expecting us to decide which door to open. He's expecting us to make these choices, and whatever we choose is going to have some consequence. And what will happen? Well, second point I'd like to look at is we've made a horrible mess out of this. As you read those verses in Psalms, those two portions in Psalms that we read, God was expecting a lot out of us. And He gave us incredible potential. But then we included with, as descendants of Adam and Eve, we in them made a horrible mess out of this great opportunity that He gave us. Back then it was them. But you and I both know, we all know that if it would have been up to us, we would have done the same thing, because we see it in ourselves. And the choices that we have made, we see that we mess it up. Now let's go back over there to Psalm 82, where He says that we're gods. And let's see what kind of gods we are. I want to start reading with verse 5. And read to the end. Psalm 82, 5. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. And I said, ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. They know not. Here I see simpletons, ignorant. You know, youth is a time of, we just don't know. We're simpletons. Proverbs talks a lot about the simpleton. The one that just doesn't know. And so we need to be told. But the next phrase I see, neither will they understand, I see rebelliousness. Even though they're told, they just won't understand. They just don't get it. And why don't you get it? Because you don't want to. Because we're rebellious. And then I see persistence in wrongdoing, because they're walking on in darkness. And I see people make these choices, and they're told. You know, the Bible says this, you need to do this and this. Yeah, but that looks too hard. That's not really what I want. And so they go on. And then after a while they come back and they say, you know, now this and this and this is happening. And look where I am now. Yeah, but don't you remember back then when you had this opportunity? If you would have made this and this choice, you wouldn't be here. So why don't you stop it now? Why don't you turn around now? And they just keep on walking in darkness. And finally, I see it's all in a wreck. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. See another picture of this in Romans 3. And as we look at humanity around us, and even in our own hearts, we see this. Romans 3. Verses 10 to 18, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's our nature. Well, I'm so thankful that we don't have to stop there. Let's go back over here to Hebrews 2. And we see that the Creator gave us all this potential and all these responsibilities, and He's expecting us to make all these right choices, but we haven't done it. We've just made a mess out of it. Verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under His feet, for in that He hath put in subjection under, for in that He put all in subjection under Him, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But now we see not yet all things put under Him. We see that we just can't do it. We haven't done it like we should have. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became Him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause He is not ashamed to call them brethren. If there's ever a time that I was so thankful for an older brother, it's here. The older brother to the rescue. Jesus, seeing that we couldn't do it, He came. He became a man. And everything that we could not do, He did it. He did it right. Now remember, He just made us stewards. It all belongs to Him. And we become aware of that again and again and again. We see, I talked about our potential, our incredible potential and our capabilities. But we also talk about there's so many things that we can't do. So many things that, well, we do some things and then we die. We pass on. And we let it all here. And we become aware more and more that we don't own it. And life is so short. And soon, the choices that we made, there's no way to redo it. And we go on. Let's look at the owner. Let's go to Revelation 5. And in Revelation 5, remember that Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so in this book, He is revealing the work of Jesus. He's revealing Jesus. And we see, let's read some verses here in Revelation 5, starting with verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, what kind of book is this? What is this book? What does it represent? It's a book that they search far and wide for somebody that's worthy to even look on it, much less take it and open it. What is this book? I believe this is the title to the earth, the right of ownership. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that has earned this right. After all, he was the creator. But here it refers to him as the one who had been slain. The one who came and became a man and participated or tasted of death. A Roman soldier said, There is no way a religion founded upon the symbol of the cross will succeed. The cross is a symbol of humiliation, disgrace, defeat. How could this religion succeed? But that is exactly the key to what made it succeed. Because out of this life, out of this death, resurrected life. And so we come to the fourth point. He purchased us with a price. And what a price. 1 Corinthians 7. Six, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And right along with that, I would like to read 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You remember that book we saw in Revelation? There was nobody that could come with a sufficient amount of gold and say, because I'm backed up by all of this gold, I can take this book. The only one that was found worthy is the one that came because he had shed his blood. And when Jesus came to to participate in this life as a human and to die for us. That shed blood, first thing it did was it made it legally possible for us to be redeemed. It was the only way to satisfy the conflict between the justice of God and His mercy. Those two things looked like they were totally irreconcilable, different demands. Because His justice demanded that we die, but God's mercy demanded that we be saved. And how could you get those two things together? Well, of the precious blood of Christ, it made that perfectly fit. The second thing is, and we saw that over there in Hebrews 2, His death destroyed the power of the one that held us captive. Destroyed the power of the devil. The one that had the power of death in His hand. And the Lord Jesus in His death and resurrection just totally shattered that power. And those guards became as dead men. The devil too. And so as we look at this, it is only a reasonable service. It's only our reasonable response, like it says over there in Romans 12, verse 1. It's the only logical thing. He created you. He set you free. But why would I want to go in my own way? Why would I want to run away from Him? He's the only one that has the answers. He's the only one that made that tremendous sacrifice. And He won our hearts. And it's only the reasonable thing to come back and say, why don't you show me which door to open? And the fourth point, it's actually a great privilege. Why would I want to make my own decisions by myself when I'm going to mess it up? And it's such a privilege to say, why don't you tell me what to do? Although it's just not that simple, is it? He tells us, will you discover what my will is by searching the Scriptures? You figure out what those principles are. And you make wise choices. And that's what makes the Word of God so precious to us. When we understand, it's a tremendous privilege to take this Word and to study it and to apply it to our hearts and say, what's going to give the right response? Which door is going to open into a beautiful paradise? The last thing I'd like to just think about is a total surrender. Christ, He really does own your life. And we see that. And we're convinced of that. And it's the only thing that makes sense. And it's really a privilege to just give it back to Him. But why is it so hard? Why do we say, yeah, but I want this for myself. I reserve this right. Why would we do that? The only thing that makes sense is just total surrender and give it back to Him. And as we do that, we find wonderful, wonderful answers. And the potential that he planned for us, we find that it becomes a reality. Let's think of the story of the little boy that dreamed of being a musician. And he was so interested in becoming a musician. So his mother took him to listen to a great magician and a musician. And she got busy talking to one of her friends and didn't notice that her little boy had scampered up to the great piano. And before she could know what happened, the great magician walked in, and here's the little boy sitting on the piano seat. He just took him in his arm, and together they made the most beautiful music that you'd ever hear. Why don't we be that little boy? Just put our let our fingers be put in the hands of the great musician, and he can make that music. So we're in your prayer. Let's pray.